Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
All right, folks, what's good? We are back. Another episode, Ain't No Seats podcast. And B-Term, we've got a lot to recap from this weekend. I mean, it feels like, literally feels like a month ago game day was there. Like, I can't believe how much has transpired since that morning in Lawrence. But what a morning it was. What a day it was. It was a great game. Didn't go how we wanted, but I don't think any Kansas football fan walked away from that game being discouraged or felt like we didn't live up to the hype, because we absolutely brought it on Saturday, and TCU just was a little bit better. So how you doing? Hawks are 5-1. We can no longer go crazy about us being undefeated, but I think this team's the real deal, and I'm still feeling really good about them.
Yeah, I think we proved a lot to some people around the country that maybe doubted us. And it, like you said, it's when you lose that game, my feeling is just gutted. Like, it's gut-wrenching. It's tied with 4 minutes left. And like you said, TCU was a little more disciplined. TCU didn't commit the penalties. They didn't turn the ball over. We did. We had some tough penalties, maybe some that weren't called late on TCU, which we'll probably get into. But you're gutted at first, and then you leave the stadium, and you're just like, I kind of smiled a little bit. Like, the state this program's in right now, and the weekend we had, College Game Day, Goff's announcement, and we just hung with one of the best teams not only in the country, or not only in the Big 12, but in the country, and a team that's favored by 4 this weekend against a team that everyone thinks is going to be in the Big 12 title game this weekend. So we hung with TCU. It was tied with 4 minutes left. It's just a really good football game that could have went either way. We had a quarterback that comes in, throws for 260 and 4 touchdowns in the second half, so electric second half. And like I said, we were the team that made the mistakes. If we would have played clean, or at least cleaner football, we probably win that game. We fumble at the 1 yard line. A couple calls might have went against us. Bean's interception led to 7 points immediately. We missed a chip shot field goal. So the fact that we made that many mistakes and probably didn't get some calls that we should have, I'm not blaming the refs, and we still had it tied with 4 minutes left, tells you how good this team is.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I feel like the big fear heading into Saturday, and it's something we've felt before. It's the second you start to get high hopes and KU starts to become the story, you think back. I mean, we always bring this game up, but the Les Miles K-State game, and you have this excitement, the campus is buzzing. And I think this team had proven more than that team had, obviously by a lot. But there was still that fear in the back of my mind, is how, like, what if TCU's really, really, really good and game day shows up and then we go in there and just get absolutely pumped 35-7 or something like that. Like, that was my big fear. And yeah, I mean, we simply just lost the football game. Like, yeah, we made mistakes. That's going to happen. But nobody's walking away from this game thinking that we can't go out. As we've said last week on this show, you can't tell me that not every single game on this schedule is winnable. Now, the problem is every single game on the schedule is also losable. Mm-hmm. That's what's scary. But this team showed that we can go out and compete with anybody.
Anybody.
You know, the fact that we lose Jalen in the first half, he goes down, which is brutal. But Bean, I mean, it was kind of weird. And me and Allen were even sitting in the stands. And at halftime, I was like, you know, it kind of felt like TCU had Jalen a little figured out, or had our offense a little figured out. We weren't getting much, you know, we weren't really moving the ball much in that first half. And I was like, I wonder if Bean will just, you know, give him a different look, and maybe that turns things around. Maybe that gives us a spark. I did not expect him to throw four touchdowns and throw for how many yards? 260?
Yeah.
I mean, insane performance by Jason Bean, and I'm so happy for the guy because you know it's got to be kind of killing him to – I'm sure he's supportive of Jalen, but it's got to be tough to – he played good last year. He almost beat Oklahoma and lost his job to Jalen. Jalen beats Texas, and I'm sure it's been hard to stick around, not transfer – knowing that you're the backup, but he got his shot and he did not waste it. So I loved Jason Bean on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, he threw some dimes to Skinner, some, I guess, controversial calls, but they reviewed them and they still stood. So I don't really get the outburst about those because they reviewed them. I guess there were some rival fan bases that said we deserve to not get those calls late because of the reviews, which doesn't really make sense. His pick was terrible. But it's tough to really get mad at the guy because we had the lead 17-10, and we were in a position, we did tie it late, but we were in position to tie it again on the final drive. And it was real, like, I was super, super frustrated at halftime when you're down 10-3. There's no reason the team should have been losing. Definitely not by a touchdown. Think about the first half. You got three drives, you're inside the 40. The first one, I believe, was to Skinner, which he had it past the sticks for a conversion. We went for it on fourth there. We would have had it. We get to the 1 yard line. God, I'm so still so pissed about this play. But JD, I love JD. It's so tough to get mad at him, but kind of careless with the ball. Kind of like, I still haven't really seen the play because I kind of refuse to watch the highlights. But it looks like he was a little careless holding it out. He kind of jumped. And that's kind of the thing with JD.
He really wanted to score. Like, it's frustrating he did it, but it wasn't him like. He just really wanted to get in the end zone, so it's hard to fault the guy. But, yeah, those are little things that he's going to get better at as he gets old. He's still 19 years old.
Like, yeah, so we had three drives inside the 40 that led to 3 points, and then the fumble at the one just seemed like a huge momentum shifter because TCU goes 99 yards right away. We would have been up – and think how good the defense was at that point. That was kind of later in the second – or in the first half, like late in the second quarter where we were about to score and – the defense was unbelievable in the first half. They held TCU to a field goal early and then a fourth and inches stop. So you score there on the 1 yard line. I mean, I know the booth is going to be outrageous. It's going to be loud. The defense is going to be juiced, but then the defense is like, damn, we just put in all this work. We got all these stops. We had a chance to get in the end zone there to give us the lead and they go 99 yards. And then TCU kind of had their way the whole second half, but just the fact that we were down a touchdown at half kind of bothered me. I thought at least be tied or maybe have the lead because we had the ball coming out. I think if JD scores there, obviously the game's completely different. It's kind of a 14-point swing. But if we were tied or had the lead with the ball coming out, it would have been crazy. And then JD's injury just sucks. I tweeted about it last night. It's kind of a play where he should have got rid of it way earlier. Mm-hmm. And then Hyshaw last week, that injury is just terrible. It's a play that looked like it was dead. I remember I stopped watching that play, and then I hear the crowd after the fumble. So two injuries back-to-back weeks to I kind of think it's our two biggest players on offense.
They were definitely the guys getting the most, like, I mean, obviously Jalen's got all the publicity, but like Hyshaw kind of came out of nowhere, not nowhere, but Devin Neal was the big name, and Devin Neal's been fine, but like Hyshaw really was the guy getting all the storyline, I felt like, this season. I think Hyshaw was starting to get on a lot of people's radar nationally, and so yeah, that was absolutely awful to see him go down and then have Jalen turn around and go down the next week. Just brutal, and you know, we're used to awful things happening to KU football, but what I love about this staff, what I love about this team is they didn't just – I mean, they could have folded. They could have absolutely folded. And to come back and swinging in that second half was
– swinging.
Was so fun. I mean
– they scored immediately coming out of halftime to tie it and then get a stop, get the ball back, and just like that, you're up 17-10. And dude. I get my hopes up so much with sports. Like, my team can go up 7, and I'm like, yes – we're about to be 6-0. We're going to Norman next weekend. Chance to get to 7-0. It's just crazy how I can get my hopes up that quick. But it just, I guess, I don't know if you agree, but it shows you how good this, I guess you kind of just said it, but shows you how good this staff is and just puts guys in the right positions to succeed. You got a backup who had a great fall. I guess the QB battle was closer than people thought. And I think some fans have said all along that if we do have a capable backup, and if it came down to that, then Bean can come in and produce, which he did in the second half. And they had every chance to win that game or at least get to overtime. But
Dude, you know how I don't like Andy Kotelnicki, like I can only think of it like comparing it to like a basketball player. You know when a basketball player just hits a point in a game where he like is completely in his zone, or what do the kids say? He's in his bag, like when a like KD or somebody's just in the zone that just seems like everything they're doing is clicking on the basketball court. There's moments, there's stretches where Andy Kotelnicki just puts together like a stretch of play calls where it's like, oh my God, this guy is so zoned in. This guy is so locked in. And it's so fun to watch. And that's kind of what happened early in that second half when Beam came out. You're stressing about our offense. We struggled the week before. And now we're back out there again in the first half struggling. It's like, oh God, what's going to happen? And Kotelnicki, with the help of Jason Bean and the rest of the players, like, he put on a clinic there for a while in that second half and he pretty much the whole second half. So that's just, I love that guy. I love the creativity he has and just the stuff he throws out there because it's great to watch. But
I mean, yeah, I can't imagine what was going through KU fans' minds about the offense. Just thinking about what was going through my mind, like just a bunch of negativity. I'm sure you had some doubts as well. They go a whole half against Iowa State without scoring. And then they go, and that's the thing too. We talked about it last week with Iowa State. They were still moving the ball and they were in Iowa State territory most of the second half, most of the game. They just, I guess they made some mistakes. Hyshaw fumbled, which he got hurt on that. And then this week we fumble at the one. I guess we missed a field goal late, but we were still driving it in the first half against TCU and had 3 points. So it's crazy how they adjust on the fly. They come out second half and they put up 28 points, obviously being through 4 touchdowns, but the staff is so good. And you just said it earlier, they're going to have, I truly firmly believe this, and I don't even hesitate to say it anymore, but I truly think we can beat every single team left on our schedule. But then you look at Saturday and it's like, it's that good of a game and you just come up short. So there's going to be games that we're in the rest of the year that we lose. So
yeah,
but I still think we're going to be in all of these games, if that makes sense. But it shows you how hard it is to win a football game. I saw a K-State fan tweeting about, KU finally played a good opponent and showed their true colors. Dude, the game was tied with 4 minutes left.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about it. Like, if we were going to lose in a way, that was about the best way possible to lose. Because, like, that was one of the most exciting games of the day. Like, people loved watching that. You could tell, like, I saw Big Cat, who has kind of been hesitant to hop on the KU train. He tweeted, he was like, I'm sorry for not believing in Kansas because, like, this team is very fun. Like, we are fun. We're fun to watch. We're not the old Kansas. We are a legitimate team. And like you said, we can win every game on the schedule. The thing that sucks about it is we're probably going to have some really painful losses. Like, we're going to have one possession games that come down in the final couple minutes, and we're going to lose some of them.
Think about West Virginia. I mean, that game goes to OT, and West Virginia had all the momentum. They scored, got the 2-point conversion. That game could have went either way. I'm surprised it came to a Jacoby Bryant pick. If he doesn't pick that or it's incomplete, they probably tie it, and who knows. But, I mean, we could be up 7 with a couple minutes left, and they tie it. So,
yeah,
it's really tough to win football games. I think every game will be close. I've almost talked myself into this week winning the next two, which before the year would have sounded crazy because – this is the crazy stretch of the year we've talked about for a couple months, but I guess we're a 9-point dog this weekend. Baylor will probably be around the same. I know they're a 3-point favorite in Morgantown, which makes me feel good about KU also. So I think we'll hang in these next two, but like you said, it could be a devastating loss where, like at TCU last year, it's tied. They hit a game-winning chip shot field goal.
Yeah. No, it's going to be – it's kind of like I think I joked on the pod – few weeks ago, like the realization that every Saturday now matters. Like every game is gonna hurt. Like we're gonna be fully invested, just like we are for conference play in basketball, where it's like any loss just kills your mood. You said it, you didn't even want to watch highlights. The old like KU football had gotten us to a point where we could just take it. We could just handle the awful moments because we were so accustomed to it. And now it's like I'm already out of that. Like I was just so annoyed that we lost Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I know you were too. But like I said, it was a great game, fun game. And before we move on and talk about anything else, I want to just make sure we talk about the atmosphere, college game day. I really didn't know what to expect because we are obviously a basketball school. but we're a school that people just have been craving football so much. But I did not know what to expect for an 11 a.m. game. Or like, I knew it was going to be a sellout, but to see the hill Saturday morning was insane. To see that ESPN said it was one of their best showings of a college game day all year or in the last couple of years is insane. So I don't know. I just love that atmosphere, and I hope we keep it going.
I talked about it last week, kind of how it felt fake and like I couldn't believe it. So I don't know, like with you, when it hits you, but I kind of get into the parking lot Saturday morning and you can see the fans up there, which I didn't get a great view of all the people because the trees and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Like, it, if you look up there and see the crowd, it was just completely full. Almost completely, like, you, I was on the hill, and like, you just look around, it's just a sea of people. Like, it looked like, not quite as crazy, but like, you think about those images from the Chiefs parade, and like, where people are just sardined in and just jam-packed, Chiefs parade, Royals parade. That's how it felt. Like, it was just people everywhere. And to see our crowd that's known as a basketball school show out like that for college game day was, I mean, I loved it. Everything about the day, other than us not winning the football game, exceeded expectations for me. Like, that's how good it was.
Yeah, so that's why I came to a point where I was upset at first. You lose a tough game where you could be 6-0 bowl eligible, and then you leave, you're kind of just like happy, smiling, like, this program is in a great spot right now. Game day, Goff's announcement. I went up there Friday night to check out game day. It just felt surreal. Never thought we'd get it. And it was one of the like most viewed game days, they said, in a long time. So amazing. It was amazing weekend. And it was, we lost, but it was a win to me. I don't know if you agree with that, but.
Well, I was, when we gave Lance or the team the standing ovation in the crowd, and Lance was, I was sitting there talking to like Alan and Chris and the people around me. Like, I was like, that's going to piss Lance off, because Lance is not like moral victories. He's not in the business of competing in games. He wants to win them. And so for us, yeah, we've been here, we've seen the awful side of it, and so we did appreciate how much they showed out on Saturday, how much Jason Bean stepped up in a tough spot. But I know Lance doesn't want that. Like, I know Lance is not looking at that as a win. So yeah, it's certainly, it's nice to lose and still feel really positive about it, and that's my main takeaway from it all.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Let's talk about the wild night that was last night with KU football, KU Twitter. Lot going on. A really memorable night. Like, I think it's one that we'll talk about for a long time in the future, just because of how crazy it was. So let me recap this entire story. So Jalen Daniels goes down Saturday. He's hurt. We don't know what's wrong. We don't know how long he's out. We don't know if it's, and Lance had said day to day yesterday. But then all of a sudden a guy named Zach Boyer, who I don't really know his job. I think he's worked for ESPN. He's worked for LJ World. I think he's been helping LJ World, KUSports.com this football season, but I guess he wasn't fully employed. I don't know. I don't know the whole story. But he tweets that per a source, Jalen Daniels is out for the year, is what he'd heard. Out for the year. And KU football, the meltdown's on, right? Everyone's tweeting like, oh my God, gutted. Can't believe, like, this is awful. We all felt horrible for Jalen. We felt horrible just for the, like, Jalen was riding an all-time high, and to see him potentially go down for the rest of the season was going to be devastating. Well, then Jalen Daniels quote tweets that tweet and says, sheesh, this is news to me. And then people start saying, whoa, wait a second. What's going on here? Is Jalen not out? And then, this is my favorite part of the whole saga, Lance Leipold posts a picture of Jalen in his office wearing, like, sunglasses, just looking so happy, even, like, raising his hands in the air. And I don't know if that was, like, a thing to show, hey, look, my shoulder's fine. Absolutely. I think it was. He tweets, hey, look who stopped by my office tonight. Hashtag rock chalk. Very subtle. But to me, Lance Leipold's not a social media guy. Lance Leipold is not tweeting. He's not posting pictures. For him to do that last night was a statement to, and I don't know what happened, because then Matt Tate, who is the sports editor, the beat writer for KU Sports, LJ World, he tweets out that, hey, this Zach guy that broke the news, he doesn't work for us. We heard this, but we weren't able to verify this through our sources, whatever. He says we have nothing to do with that. We couldn't verify it. And that's kind of where we're at. We still don't know if Jalen's out for the year. I don't think he is. I think it's more likely that Jalen is truly out probably a couple weeks. But we just don't know. I think it's a good thing, though. Would you agree that the fact that Lance and Jalen came out that strongly makes me think we're going to see Jalen Daniels again this year?
Yeah, I think so for sure. And I don't know if it's a situation where maybe they're saying he's not done for the year because we're going to have a bowl game, maybe, just because technically that wouldn't mean he's done for the year.
But if, like, I don't know, if Bean plays the rest of the year, would they really put Jalen in over him in the bowl? I don't know. It'll depend on how we play.
Like, I personally think it's just a coach thing to where they don't want teams, like, they want teams to scout two different quarterbacks every week, which makes a lot of sense. And I feel like they've been super secretive with injuries all year. They didn't want Kai's stuff getting out. And then JD now. So I think it's smart to do this. And obviously he's not for certain out for the year. They probably would have announced that. So I think they want teams to plan for two different QBs. Obviously this week it's going to be Bean, but with Jade, I agree though. I don't think they would have came out and said they would have been that strongly, on Twitter. And then obviously the picture of JD just kind of proves that he's not, I don't think he's done for the year. And him raising his hands was definitely just messing with people, kind of talking about his shoulder. So,
yeah, my favorite theory about the whole thing was, like, what if it was KU just trying to find a leak or trying to find somebody out there that's going to run with the story and leak it, and they completely got this guy to fall for the trap. But I don't know. So as of now, Jalen's not out for the year. He's Beans. I think the plan is Bean to play on Saturday. But we got to talk Saturday. We got to talk about that outrageous line that's coming out this Saturday. I mean, what's it even at now? 9?
Yeah, it's at 9. It was 9.5 yesterday on one book, and money lines up to plus, like, 260, plus 265 range.
I don't understand.
I really don't. I was driving to my house before the pod. It made me think of the Houston game, where Houston's just been a better program, obviously, lately. They had big expectations before the season and they just expect them to take care of us easily. And I feel like the spread is around the same thing. Wasn't Houston around 9?
Yeah, 9.5, I think.
I said on the pod that week, I think we're the better team. I think we're better than Oklahoma, even with Bean. Dylan Gabriel against TCU. I can't really compare other opponents. I can't compare other games. OU was down 24 with Gabriel in the game. I know he got knocked out, but it was 34-10 against them. I think our defense got stops against TCU. And I think if we're not better, we're just as good as OU. So the 9 line doesn't make sense. I think it's kind of based off OU coming off a loss to their biggest rival potentially.
I just don't get it. Like, obviously, so like you said it, you said you think we're better than OU. But like, if you just look at the rosters, it's not even close. They are so much more talented than us. It's not like Venable, and I don't know what the deal with Venables is, but it's not like they have a staff that sucks. They're loaded with talent, but boy, do they suck. Like, they're bad. They're bad. And so to me, and I don't know, Vegas is smart. They're always right, it seems like, but they've been wrong a lot about this KU football team.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like one of the most disrespectful lines I've ever seen. I get it's a road game. I get Daniels is out and Gabriel's back. But, I mean, I think back to what Martinez did to that defense, what Duggar did to that defense, especially Martinez. Like, if you can get Bean working on his feet on Saturday, like, I think we could easily win this game. Like, yeah. You never know. Bean could struggle. I just don't know. But he tore him up last year. So I feel really good about it.
Yeah, and depending on what TCU line you got, KU's just been a cover machine this year. They definitely covered the first 5 weeks. I know the line got to 7.5 against TCU last week. Some people got that. But, yeah, I personally think we're just as good. OU's defense looked terrible the last 3 games. They gave up 49, 55, and then K-State kind of did whatever they wanted late in that game against Oklahoma, but they gave up 27 to TCU in the first quarter. Not the first half, first quarter. And they were, like I said, they were down close to 30 with Gabriel in. I know Gabriel's going to be back. Maybe he could be a little rusty. He's missed a game and a half. So I feel really good. It's at OU. But like you said, I thought it was going to be, if I would have guessed, I would have thought maybe OU -3. I personally, yeah. And then I kind of thought it might just be a pick, like a pick 'em game, I guess. But 2 scores seems outrageous to me and, like you said, kind of disrespectful.
I mean, so if we beat – let's say TCU goes slightly different last week. What if we score on that last drive? What if they call pass interference? We score, we go for 2 like Lance said he would, and we win the game. TCU – or Oklahoma just lost 49-0. The week before they lost – what was the score of TCU the week before OU?
55-24.
Or 55-24. They lose to K-State the week before that. If we beat TCU, are you telling me that we are 9-point underdog? Like, I don't know what the line would have been, but that's really where we're at. Like, we were, 25 yards away from that game at the worst going to overtime, potentially, or us losing on a 2-point conversion. So, like, it's just mind-blowing to think we could potentially be 6-0 right now, top 15 in the country, heading into 3-3 OU, who's gotten absolutely destroyed the prior 3 weeks, and they would still be probably 5, 6, 7, 8-point favorites. Like,
just because of the names of the programs.
There is nothing I want more than to win this game. And, I mean, I obviously want to win, but, like, or just – I want us to look back and be, you know, vindicated that this line was a complete and utter joke. But I don't know. It's always tough to question – question handicappers. They're good. They're good at what they do for a reason. People don't win money gambling for a reason, but I'm heavy on the Hawks.
I don't get how it's 2 score spread. Like, I won't ever figure it out. Obviously they could cover, but this is a team that's 0-3 in the Big 12 right now. And none of the games have really been close. They just got shut out last week without Gabriel, which I guess you got to give their offense a pass, but Texas did whatever they wanted. TCU dominated them. They put up 34 or maybe 40 in the first half. I just don't get it at all. And I know it's at OU. They're coming off a loss to the rivals, so maybe they'll be juiced up and there's kind of maybe some pressure on Venables. They're obviously not going to fire him, but it feels like there's a lot of question marks hovering over that program right now. They have one of their starting safeties is going to be out too. He got hurt in the Texas game.
Am I insane to say that they are the worst team in the Big 12?
I don't think so. It could be West Virginia.
If their name wasn't OU, if they were West Va, if they were Texas Tech, if they were KU, even if they were K-State, you're looking at this team and you're saying this is the worst game left on our schedule. This is the worst team left on our schedule. And that, to me, is mind-blowing. And I fully expect OU to figure it out a little bit, but I don't know. I hope it's not this weekend.
Two scores. Yeah. Maybe I could see it's going to come down to the wire. Maybe like last week where just back and forth in the second half and maybe we're down seven late and we got a chance to tie it, or maybe an OU game or an overtime game. But I don't understand how it's a two score spread and it's rising right now, because the JD news, when you watch Bean last week, which that is the one thing that worries me this week, is OU has a full week to prepare for Jason Bean. They go watch the film last year. He kind of just came in firing last week. TCU didn't see him last year. He just comes in firing and can't really draw up a game plan for him. So OU could go watch the game against them last year. He played plenty of games, so it kind of worries me. But I still think, like you said, Kotelniki's going to be firing on all cylinders. Our running backs are money. Our offensive line's been really good. And their defense can't stop anyone right now. So why – why do you think they would stop one of the best offenses in the country?
So here's the other side of it, though. Like, obviously, we love the Hawks. We've watched this team all year. But if you're an outsider looking in and you say, okay, well, the last 2 weeks, Kansas has lost their starting quarterback and they've lost their starting running back, maybe it's not crazy to think that we should lose this game by two scores. Like, I don't know. I guess that's how somebody that's not – a KU fan that doesn't realize how good Devin Neal is, doesn't realize how good Kai Thomas, Sevion Morrison can be, and doesn't realize how good – I mean, I think most people realize how good Jason Bean can be because they watched him last week, but
– How many teams do you think we've played this year that are better than OU right now? How many teams would you say, and then how many teams would you question?
I would potentially say I think Houston's better than them, and I know Houston's kind of been sketchy.
Yeah,
I think Iowa State's Iowa State's defense is so good, but my God, they're all Iowa State's like the opposite of OU. OU's defense is just atrocious, but their offense can scare me. But I think West Virginia is – I think West Virginia is kind of slept on. Like, I think West Virginia is going to steal some games. I could see them winning this weekend. Like, I don't know. I think West Va still is talented. So, I don't know. I think you could say West Virginia, Houston, and maybe Iowa State are better than Oklahoma. But it's just hard. Oklahoma's still loaded with five-star talent.
Yeah. It's the OU name. Like you said, it's the OU name. It's in Norman. They need to win. I don't know what's going to – you've talked about Venables maybe getting fired. It wasn't really serious. But what's going to happen – what's going to be the word around Norman this weekend if Kansas goes into Norman and beats Oklahoma? And they go to what, 3-4?
3-4, four straight losses, one of which was 49. You just – at OU, you can't lose –
they're not going to a bowl if they lose Saturday. Yeah. There's no way.
You can't lose 49-0 to Texas. Like, that's just something – they do not want. And so I'm not saying Venables gets fired this year. I do think if he were to lose to us and then not turn things around by the end of the year, it would be very talked about. But more so what I think will happen is Venables will be back next year. But if it's something where you see them start like 3-2 next year, 3-3 next year, he'll be gone by like week 7. Like, OU is too good of a program. They're not going to sit around and be bad for multiple years in a row when they can go out and get another big name. I think they can. So, I don't know. I like Venables. I want him to succeed because I mean, K-State fans were so salty about him going to OU and kind of turning them down. So, I really want him to succeed, but I don't know about that. He doesn't seem to be the guy so far, but who knows? So,
yeah.
Let's get into predictions. We've talked about the line. Let's see. I don't know what the over-under is yet. Let me pull this up.
I believe it's 64. When I saw it, it was 64. I'm sure it's risen because They've given up 55 and 49 the last two games.
How about Vegas just getting KU TCU just perfect? 68.5 over under, 7-point spread, 69 points were scored, and it was 7. Like, just nuts.
The fact that some people pushed that over is kind of crazy too. 10-3 at half.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. So KU Oklahoma, the line, as we've said, at DraftKings is OU -9. And the over under is 62.5. I guess give me your prediction against the spread. Give me your head to head, who wins the game, and then give me your over under prediction.
Well, you're going to think I'm insane, and you're probably going to hate this spread after I say it, or hate this take, because you know how bad I am at gambling, and you're going to think it's bad juju on the Hawks, but I'm going to be laying the biggest bet I've ever laid in my life on KU +9.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm laying my biggest bet of the year so far on KU +9, which I hate it. Like, we've got to cancel those. We got to cash out now because we're going to absolutely sabotage this program.
I think we're just as good. I think it's going to be, if anything, it's going to be a back and forth game. I'm sure Gabriel and that offense will put up points, but why wouldn't our offense put up points too? They play a Houston defense that's better. They play a TCU team that's better, and they're going neck and neck with both teams. I think our offense will be able to do what they want. I know we lost JD. They can game plan around Bean. And another thing that worries me is just the pressure that's on OU. I'm sure that could be a good or bad thing, though. I think maybe they put too much pressure on themselves, or maybe they come and kind of put it on us Saturday. I don't see it. I think it's going to be, regardless, a good game, and I truly think we're going to win. I said this against OU, Houston. I think you laughed, but we were +9. I said we're the better team. I think we're the better team than OU. That game was on the road too. I think we're going to go into Norman and win. And worst case, we're going to cover. I also think the over is a lock. 64. Yeah. I think OU is going to put up at least, 24, 28 points. I think KU puts up – I think both teams score 30. I'll say that. I could see a 41-31 game.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I'm obviously on KU +9. I feel like it's one of those where if I don't do it, we cover. It's like, what were we thinking? Like, obviously this team was covering +9. But so I'm on that for sure. The over-under, I'm still hesitant on, because like you pointed out, Bean came in slinging against TCU, but they hadn't prepared for Bean. And so a full week of preparing for Jason Bean, I think, can change things. But it still is like, this OU defense is very suspect. They do not just improve over a week. They are
They're starting bad. Safeties out, too. One of their starting safeties is out.
I'm probably with you on the over. I'm thinking, but I don't know. I
just can't take a KU under right now. Even last week gets there. Last week it's 3-0 for a while, and then it's 10-3 at half, and they score a combined 56 in the second half. I think 28 in both quarters, or what was it? It was definitely, I think, 14 all in the fourth quarter. But regardless, I just can't see myself taking an under in a KU game, and especially OU when they've given up 49 and 55 the last 2 weeks. I've said that a million times this episode, but there's no way I could take the under and sit there and cheer for no points. Two pretty explosive offenses. I know OU hasn't been great the last 3 weeks, but Gabriel obviously is capable. There's no way we don't cover +9. I don't know. No way.
I hate how confident we are. We are not good gamblers. But we've been – I have not lost a dollar on KU football this year. Like, they have made me a lot of – they've made me more money gambling on any team, any sport ever, because I just keep taking them to cover, taking them money line. They just win. They're cover machines, like you said. And this OU team might just really, really stink. They might.
Listen to this. TCU is the best team in the Big 12. I really, truly believe that. If it was in Stillwater, maybe the spread would be different. But 4-point spread in Stillwater, we took that team to the wire Saturday. Tied with 4 minutes, we made probably 5 more mistakes than they did. And we haven't even talked about the last play, which was absolute bullshit. Two guys getting held. It's unbelievable that they missed that. The ball's going to Lawrence Arnold. Multiple refs on the field are watching that, and his jersey gets tugged, and they impede his route. And they don't throw a flag on that play. They called one I'm not going to say this at all. We did not lose this game because of the refs. But that was absolute bullshit to end the game.
Yeah.
And that should have been called. We should have been inside the 20, and we would have had a beautiful chance to send that game to OT. Maybe we would have went for two. Lance said we would have. I think that's just saying that after the game, potentially. But that's got to be called. Everyone in the country knew that's got to be called, besides K-State fans, of course. But that's got to be called. You cannot miss that. Multiple refs on the field saw that. I don't know what made them keep their flags in their pockets, but that's straight-up bullshit. And yeah. I think that wasn't called because it's against KU. Call me a homer, but that's outrageous. They don't call anything on TCU all game. They call things on us, and they don't. They miss that. That's an absolute miss. Maybe the play before that with the horse collar, I don't know. I don't know the rules enough on that. Devin Neal told me it was. I trust him. That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's got to be called. That game, I think we got that game ripped away from us late. I'm not saying we would have won. It could have went to OT. We could have not got the two-point conversion, but that game has to continue there. The game could not end after that play. It's just outrageous that they missed that. And if we end up missing the Big 12 championship by a game, I'm going to go back to that play and be pissed. I mean, it's not right. There's no way you can miss that.
Yeah, and it's you said it, like the horse collar one. I'm not saying we have to get both those calls, but to not get either of them. I mean, those are very much calls that you're seeing flags by a lot of refs that week. And so to not get either of those calls on the final two plays of the game is pretty brutal. Doesn't mean we score, but
you're telling me we're up 7 and TCU has the ball inside the 30 and Quentin Johnson, who had 96 catches and 745 yards on Saturday, runs a crossing route and gets held and everyone in the stadium sees it. TCU fans saw it. They call that. I guarantee it. I sound like a sore loser right now, but I guarantee they call that on Quentin Johnston. TCU is a bigger brand. They've been better lately. They've almost made the playoff before or whatever.
See, I don't,
they're going to get that call. I guarantee it.
I mean, I don't think it's a brand thing. I think it was just a bad call. I think it was just a missed call, bad refs. I don't think there was any I don't think there was any, like, doing by the refs to help TCU. I think the refs just sucked. I think they just sucked and made a bad call. It's brutal to see it end like that. I would have much rather it ended on a game that, or a play that felt like the players just went out and decided it. The players went out, had a shot to score, but to see it end on a controversial fourth down play absolutely sucks. But like we said, still a good performance. My official prediction for OU, we got on a tangent there. I'll take KU +9 because you have to. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. And I will, but I can't pick us to beat OU. I can't do it. I think OU, like, you know how we use the envisioning, like a scenario, like could we vision Remy on the stage with Bill Self? And I said, I can see it and it came true. I cannot see Oklahoma football losing a fourth straight game in the Big 12 and it being to us, unfortunately. I just can't see it. So
he's,
I think we compete.
Be.
I think it's close. I just don't think we're going to win the game. But
that's,
we're going to be in it.
I feel like Vegas just thinks that same thing, too. I think they think OU is going to respond. I wonder if Venables is going to be on the hot seat if they lose. I mean, these games aren't close.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, he's not just losing. He's getting absolutely embarrassed, and that's a problem in OU.
So there's a lot of pressure on him, and it seems like the offense isn't really clicking. I know they made it. It was a good game against K-State, but even when Gabriel was in there against TCU, they didn't really move it. I think they only scored 24 points all game. So, and then last week they got shut out. I know Gabriel was out, but I feel like the offense hasn't been great. The defense is supposed to be good. Venables is supposed to be this crazy defensive mind. They couldn't stop anyone in the Big 12 right now. So I don't know why they could stop Kansas. You're going to think I'm crazy. I still think we're right there in the Big 12 race, and I don't care what anyone says. This is a top 20 team in the country right now, a team that almost beat one of the best teams in the – I said it last week. I think TCU is a dark horse college football playoff candidate. It's not going to happen. I just personally think they could lose one regular season game, maybe win the Big 12 championship. If they beat a good Oklahoma State team in the Big 12 championship, they could potentially make the playoffs. I just said they won't, but I think they're a dark horse. We just took them to the wire. We made the mistakes. It was tied with 4 minutes left. I think it was a lazy pick. We missed a chip shot field goal. So a lot of things went against KU. and they still had a chance to beat that good of a team. And our defense got a ton of stops against TCU early. And even I'm pretty positive. What was it? We were up seven. They missed the field goal, and then the defense gets a stop. So we've said it all year. The defense has gotten every big stop imaginable. Hopefully they can do that in Norman. I think we're going to go into Norman and win the game. So obviously I'm taking +9. I think whatever you put on +9, maybe put half of it on money line too, because I think we're going to win. So
I think I'm going to sprinkle some on money line just to be part of it. But +260, oh, it would feel amazing to win that game.
I mean, missing out on KU money line at Morgantown when we're a 14, 15 point dog hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. It did. We just didn't know the absolute monster Lance and Jalen and his staff were. But yeah, it's going to be.
I think our defense is better, our offense is better, and our staff is better. Call me crazy, but I truly believe that right now.
I hope you're right. But either way, I think we can all agree +9, disrespectful. It's another disrespectful line. The Iowa State line was disrespectful. This line is disrespectful. And we'll see how it goes. But all right, you got anything else?
I should be in Norman Saturday, so hopefully I'm not bad luck. Hopefully my gambling advice isn't bad luck, which it probably will be. But I don't see this team losing by two scores to some of the best teams in the conference. They just took the best team in the conference, nearly beat them. So I don't see why the team with the worst record in the Big 12 is two scores better. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I feel really good about this team. We lost JD, hopefully not for long, but I think Bean will pick it right back up. I firmly believe that the staff's just as confident with Bean. I think the players feel the same way. So I feel good going into Norman. Be freaking awesome to beat them. It's been probably, 20-something years? 30 years, maybe?
I don't even know.
And then Baylor.
I should have beat them last year.
I don't see why Baylor wouldn't be a winnable game next week also. They're 3-point favorite in Morgantown, a team we beat. Baylor's unranked. I think we're better than the next two teams we play, but they're both on the road. So
people forget we won in Morgantown by 13 points. So we pumped them, but yeah, it's, I'm excited. I know we lost the game, but vibes couldn't be stronger on my end. I love this team. Love this, the program. I love the buzz that's still going on with the program, and it would be absolutely incredible. It would be a huge story if we go in and beat OU. So
we'll
see how it goes. That's all we got this week, folks. Thank you as always for listening, and we will be back next week. Hopefully B-Turn doesn't die from choking, but we'll be back next week in Rock Chalk.